Hello, it's Thursday, July 27th, and you're listening to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Before we bring our guest on today, some people may be wondering, why do you spend so much time lately talking about Israel? Well, the simple answer is that this war in the Middle East, which Israel is the undoubted aggressor, this is the biggest story in the world by far. It's bigger than the war in Iraq. It's bigger than anything going on right now. So, if we're going to discuss what's taking place in the world, we have to hone in on the most relevant and the biggest events taking place. Now, regrettably, I tuned in to one of these alternative radio shows this afternoon. I won't mention any names, but this individual is a very, very big Zionist protector. But I figured, after everything that's going on in the news in the last couple days, this individual is going to have to cover Israel, is going to have to denounce what they're doing. Well, I listened very closely to the first hour of this show, and not one word, not a single word of denunciation against the terrorist nation of Israel. Not one word exposing their blatant war crimes. Not one word about their other acts of aggression where they're killing innocent civilians, women, children. Nothing, not a single word in the first hour. And in the last 2 hours of his show, he was going to talk to a guest about the JFK assassination, and I guarantee there won't be one word about Israel's involvement in that event either. Ladies and gentlemen, you are being shortchanged, not only by the mainstream media, which is egregious in their one-sidedness, but also by many, many venues in the alternative media that are doing the same exact thing as the mainstream media. They're covering up and leading a protection racket for Israel. And it just boggles my mind why more people aren't outraged about this. Well, we're going to have our Wing TV poll results tomorrow. And luckily, as you'll see, many people that tune into this show know what's going on, and they want absolutely nothing to do with the Zionist protection racket. Well, I'm not going to babble on any longer about this, because we have a whole half an hour to cover it with Mr. Mark Glenn, who's been on this show many times in the past. He is the author of 3 books right now, the latest being Hear No Evil. Also, his website can be found at crescentandcross.com. And I'm going to let Mark very quickly tell you about his other book. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Mark Glenn to Wing TV. How you doing, Mark?
Fine. How are you? Welcome to Armageddon.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's looking more and more like it every day. Well, before we get into things, Mark, tell everybody the books that you have now have available, and also how they can find your website.
You can find my website, as you said, by going to www.crescentandcross.com. And you'll find on the front page there at the bottom whatever information you need for getting the books. And that's it.
All right. Very good. Well, on the Wing TV homepage today, I have an article called Israeli War Crimes. And it covers this event that took place a couple days ago where the Israeli IDF, their defense forces, bombed a very clearly marked UN observatory post near, I hope I'm saying this right, Qiyam, Lebanon. You probably know how to say that better. But tell us, Mark, what you know about this event and how Israel is allowed to get away with yet again another war crime.
Well, she's allowed to get away with it for one simple reason, which is this thing known as fear of the Jews. You mentioned it in your opening remarks regarding whoever this lunatic radio show host is who will not talk about Israel. People are, they are completely infected with this thing known as fear of the Jews, and it's not a new thing. People have always been afraid of them because they are an unreasonable people who are willing to go to any lengths necessary to get what they want. Yeah. All right, that's number one. Number two, why would Israel attack a UN outfit? Simple, because the UN started making grumbling a few days ago about what was going on in Lebanon, Kofi Annan. And believe me, I'm no fan of the UN. I'm no fan of Kofi Annan.
Same here.
They're all a bunch of Marxists.
Yep.
But at the same time, they were calling for a ceasefire with the hostilities that were going on in Lebanon. And at the same time, they probably were going to be witness to war crimes. Now, remember, this happened UN was there and all the rest of that, and the Jews did it anyway.
Right.
Okay, so we can just dismiss this idea that it was an accident. We know what it was. It's just typical business of violence and false flag operations, and them saying, oh, well, we just didn't know. Isn't it terrible?
Well, let's start there.
We just didn't know.
Yeah, let's start there. You say 14 times. My reports say 10 times. Regardless, the point is that UN officials warned this Israeli liaison 10 times, 14 times, however many times, more than one time, that their attacks, that their missiles were landing dangerously close to this bunker. Yet, every time they called the IDF, the officers assured the UN that they would quit the bombings, yet they didn't. Well, the next bombing hit this outpost and it killed four individuals. I think one from Finland, China, Canada, and one other country, I'm not certain on that, but four unarmed, innocent workers at this UN outpost were hit after the IDF had been warned or notified 10 different times. Well, the IDF shot three precision-guided missiles into this bunker, and four people were killed. The other one was from Austria, okay? So, it gets worse. Mark, it gets worse than this. UN spokesman Milos Struger said that after the bunker was bombed, when they sent in search and rescue personnel, that the IDF continued bombing this bunker and firing missiles even when the rescue operation was taking place. This is as bad as it gets, isn't it? Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, we've got some wind coming up here in the mountains, and whenever it happens, I lose reception.
Okay, you still there?
Yeah, Victor, you want to use my other phone?
Well, we're already right in the middle of this. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but I don't know how long it's going to hold. We'll just do it as long as we can, but, I mean,
yeah.
We can go to my other phone if you want.
We'll keep this going as long as possible, but I was mentioning that after this bunker was bombed, when the UN sent in search and rescue workers, Israel kept shooting missiles even after the rescue workers were in there. I mean, how can it get any worse than that?
Well, like I said, this is business as usual. Look at the over 400 Palestinian villages have been erased from the map. We have Sabra and Shatila. We have Deir Yassin. This is the Judaic mindset that says, exterminate anybody who gets in our way. So if anybody who's having trouble holding on to their lunch after hearing about the way that the Israelis bombed this UN camp and then bombed those who were trying to rescue them, this is typical business. You're dealing with a mad dog here.
Yeah.
Mad dogs are very irrational. They're unpredictable, and they'll do anything.
And you know what it reminds me of? When I was reading these various reports, it reminded me of the USS Liberty. Here was a ship, a United States ship in international waters, 1967. It was a spy ship, granted, but it was in international waters. It was monitoring the Six-Day War. A big, huge 14-foot flag waving in the wind. The IDF comes in, bombs this ship, sprays it with I'm having a mind slip right here, but the stuff they used in Vietnam. Yeah, napalm, thank you very much. Spray it with napalm. Then, when the crewmen were trying to escape this onslaught, when they got into their inflatable rafts, the IDF comes along and sends their gunboats in, and they're shooting the life rafts. It's the same thing that happened at this UN outpost. The rescue workers are trying to save the people, and they're still bombing them. It's just unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. But you know what is more unbelievable than this, Victor? Is that really, none of us should have been taken by surprise by this, okay? We have had 2,000 years of history, 2,000 years of warning about what these people were like and what the kind of mischief and mayhem that they were capable of doing. I mean, that is the amazing thing, is that we forgot. The one thing that saved the world 2,000 years ago was this destruction known as the State of Israel. And so what do we do, particularly the Christian world, what do after 2,000 years? We drag it back up out of the ground again and bring it back to life like this Frankenstein. And we sit around, with our hands over our faces saying, oh, my God, look at this terrible thing that's happening. We should have known all along.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and this is what I was thinking about when I was coming home from work today, was the United States of America, a country I love, a country I was born in, a country I live in, how, let me say also, a great country. How can this country side with an evil force like Israel? It breaks my heart to see our country aiding and abetting this criminal entity, the worst terrorist nation in the country. Why, Mark?
Because the people in America, and really the people throughout the Christian world, they don't care anymore. Their lives are easy. They have been corrupted by wealth, by luxury, and all the rest of these things. And they simply don't care. They have bought into this notion that all of these comforts that they have, you know, that these are just naturally occurring organic things. And then, you know, in the back of their minds, the idea that innocent people have to suffer so that we can maintain this lifestyle, that doesn't matter to them. I mean, the West is in many ways infected with the same type of Judaic supremacist thinking that the Jews themselves are famous for having. We think we're better than everybody else, and we think that whoever has to suffer for us to be able to maintain our position, well, that's okay. And so that is how. It's a very easy thing. I mean, human nature is what human nature is. And you can take any group of people anywhere in the world and fill them with enough money, wealth, luxury, and all the rest of that, and within a short amount of time, the same thing will happen to them.
Yeah. Well, let's cover a couple more things before we move on. Everyone, by this point, has to ask, why would Israel bomb this outpost, this UN outpost? Obviously, there's going to be worldwide condemnation of it, as there has been, even though it doesn't filter through in America's mainstream news. But I think there's two reasons for it. First of all, there's been a lot of reports, Mark, about Israel's use of chemical weapons. Well, who would be closer to seeing this and reporting on it than this United Nations outpost? And secondly, this outpost was bringing or trying to bring humanitarian aid to these bombed villages in Lebanon. So if they want to cut this off at the source, why not bomb the UN outpost that's part of the humanitarian aid? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. But I think that there is a bigger agenda at work here as well. And I think what it is that Israel is saying, we can do whatever we want, and there's nothing that you can do to stop us. It's a way of conditioning the people of the world into just not resisting it. See, it's like, you know, they've got this force field around them, and nothing seems to affect it.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Number one. And number two, I think that in the end, what Israel really wants to do is to inflame the Arab world to such a point where they're all going to war against her. What? Remember that the Arab world, not just the Arab world, but the Muslim world as well, you know, they aren't infected with this thing like we are here in the West.
Uh-huh.
Infected with this complacency and this you know, this feminized that their men have been feminized. They're willing to fight and to die. And I think that in the end, what Israel is really trying to do is to goad all of these Arab nations into going to war against her.
You know,
drag the United States into it, and then finally put an end to this thing once and for all.
Well, I want you to hold on to that point for 1 minute, because to wrap this up, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, who's usually this tepid, limp dish rag, even he came out and expressed his outrage about this. But then the UN says, well, we hope that Israel investigates this matter. And the analogy I use in my article on the Wing TV homepage is, that'd be like asking Charles Manson to investigate the Helter Skelter slings. I don't really think we're going to get an accurate appraisal of what happened. But now, let's look at this point, Mark, that you just brought up, because that was one of my questions. Is there going to be a point when all the Arab nations in the Middle East finally get their fill of Israel's tactics and finally say, well, we're hell-bent for leather, we're going all out? Is there going to be a point reached when they just say, the hell with it, let's get Israel?
Well, I certainly think that the people would do that. As far as the governments themselves, I don't know. I know certainly Syria and Iran would do it, and probably the But as far as the others who have been bought off and corrupted with Western Jewish money, like Jordan, no. And see, there is a lesson to be learned in that. You know, to all you Arab peoples and all you Arab governments out there who think that you can get along with the beast and give the beast everything that it wants and you're going to be okay, Lebanon is a perfect example of why that doesn't work. A year ago when Hariri was assassinated, and that assassination had all the fingerprints of Mossad and CIA on it, the Lebanese people should have been smart enough to recognize this. And instead, they took the bait that was offered to them. They started blaming Syria, screaming for Syria to get out, and that is what was the precursor to this invasion.
Yeah.
You see, the Lebanese people should have been smart enough to recognize who was behind this and what the bigger agenda was, and they didn't. And the lesson that needs to be learned here by everybody is you can't befriend an alligator. Just because it might be little and it might be cute now, or it may not be threatening you right now, doesn't mean that it's not going to later. And so my admonition to everybody is you might as well just saddle down and prepare for the worst. Don't think that you're going to be able to just sit back and that this thing is going to go away. You either kill it or it's going to kill you.
Yeah. Now, I see quite a bit of divide and conquer tactics that are kind of playing upon what you said. Egypt has come out now and denounced Hezbollah. Hezbollah is the last resistance that Lebanon has against Israel. Saudi Arabia has come out and denounced Hezbollah. So even among the Arab nations, we see a division here, which isn't that precisely what Israel wants.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have to remember that these nations, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, these nations have been bought off for decades by the Jews. They owe all of their extravagant lifestyles to this cooperation that they give to them. And so naturally they're going to save it. The people, on the other hand, are a different matter. The people understand what really is at stake here. But, you know, these leaders, you have to keep in mind, guess what, guys? Israel's going to get rid of you, too. Don't think that by laying down and allowing yourself to be used as a whore, that somehow Israel's going to let you live through it. She's not going to. She intends to take all of that land, all of that oil, and expel all of your people from those lands. So you might as well just button up now and do what needs to be done while there's time to do it.
Well, you know, every one of your responses is segueing perfectly into what I was going to ask next, because a couple nights ago I was talking to Visigoth. He does a radio show down in Florida. By the way, we're going to be on Visigoth's show next Tuesday. But we were talking on the phone, and he said, okay, ultimately, what's the reason for this war in the Middle East? And I said, this is a reordering of the Middle East, similar to what or how Europe was reordered during and after World War I and World War II. And Mark, you make a great point, because these leaders in place now, either they buckle under to this whole Zionist New World Order, or they're out the door when the whole Middle East is reordered. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, there's no question about the fact that it's accurate. In the end, what the Jews want is control of all of that oil. They need control of the water sources there, in particular the Jordan River and now the Latani River in South Lebanon. Of course, the Euphrates River. And so, you know, you have to understand you're dealing with a completely irrational mindset when you're talking about the Jews. They bow down to an ideology that doesn't recognize empirical right and wrong. Okay, for them, right and wrong begins with them getting what they want. And so, you know, we normal people, you know, normal as normal can be, you know, we have a hard time understanding this because, you know, we have these things known as restraints and morals and conscience and things like that. But Judaism robs people of that. It renders them, it's like these people who are addicted to crystal meth, where they're just robbed of their souls and they just basically devolve into animals. This is what Judaism does to people. And so, you know, for us to say, well, this thing that is going on, it has bigger implications with it that involve Israel grabbing up all of the land and oil in the Middle East, you know, a lot of people scoff at that, but it's only because they do not understand the nature of the beast.
Right. Now, we know that Condoleezza Rice was over in Rome. She also visited Lebanon and Israel, and then from there she went to Rome. They had a big peace accord there. And even though there was near worldwide condemnation of Israel's offensive, one nation, the United States, led by, regrettably, Condoleezza Rice, gave the green light to Israel. This means now that an Israeli official today said that there is no end in sight to this war. It's going to last at least several more weeks. They're bringing up more troops into Lebanon. So, where are we going from here, Mark?
Well, that's a big question, Mark. There are a lot of things that upon which we can speculate. Syria, Iran, and Russia, and China, you know, these are the wild cards that we really don't know for sure what is going to happen. My personal prediction is that Syria and Iran are going to get dragged into this. Russia is not going to sit down and allow herself to be destroyed by the Jews the way that she was a century ago. And I think that, you know, we really are in the World War III is heating up, and I think that we will see Russia and China getting involved. I see Iran. I still will stick by my prediction that Iran already has the bomb. And, you know, the Iranians, like I said, there are still a few countries left where you have what I call sane leaders who understand what is in the best interest of their people and who are not going to simply lie down and allow this evil thing to devour them. Yeah. And Iran is one of those things, you know, one of those countries. Back in 70 AD, you know, when the Christians were being persecuted, hunted down by the Jews, and killed, you know, they were praying for deliverance from God. And it showed up in the most unlikely of ways, which was the Romans invaded Jerusalem and destroyed the country and scattered the Jews. And this is what saved the Christian world. And so what I'm saying right now is that as unlikely as it appears to us, you know, our prayers of being delivered by this thing may come in the form of a man like the president of Iran. It may be he who delivers this fatal blow to this thing that threatens the extinction of all of us. And yet we don't see that this is a possibility, but yet it may very well be this way. I mean, God works in strange ways. So,
and without this invasion by the Romans in 70 AD, there probably wouldn't be Christianity as we know it today. But
that's exactly right.
Right. Now, since you mentioned China, I'm going to go back again to this conversation I had with Viz, and he was looking at a timeline. And there was one important event coming up, Mark, that everybody has to keep in mind. And it might not seem relevant, but the Summer Olympics in 2008 are being held in China. Now, I like to call them the Munich China Olympics, reminiscent of the one held in Germany, I believe, 1936. But this is supposed to be China's big showcase to the world. This is where China is unfolded. And basically, in my eyes anyway, they're to become the new world order nation of the world. Do you think, and this is what Viz was saying, that everything's going to be delayed or in limbo until 2008, then all hell is going to break loose after the Olympics? Do you think that's wishful thinking or that there's a possibility?
Well, the thing is, look, we've been doing this, watching the weather now for a long time, long enough to know that it really is hard to gauge things. You know, you can give general predictions. I mean, I've given up making any kind of timelines for anything.
Mm-hmm.
All I can really say, you know, the doo-doo is going to hit the fan. It has hit the fan. And, it doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon. But as far as predicting the micro-events and things like that, I mean, I've seen too many people wrong about these things to wager anything.
Right.
One thing for sure, though, is that, you know, you can, in a general sense, you can gauge where the enemy is going to do certain things, because it's like watching a chess game between two people. You know that the objective here is to get the other guy's king. And so you can pretty much gauge by watching their moves, understanding that what their agenda is to get that other king. But, I mean, things are just moving so fast, and we're dealing with an enemy here that is just so diabolical in his willingness to deceive us that it really is hard to get an accurate picture. So I would not venture a guess as far as what's coming up in 2008.
All right. Well, the new news today is another element thrown into the equation. The new news is that Al-Qaeda is now threatening Israel. And Osama bin Laden's right-hand man, you know, the mysterious Osama bin Laden, who can't be found, can't be seen, can't be captured. Well, his right-hand man has said he's not going to stand by and let this Israeli aggression go unheeded. And he now sees the entire world as the battlefield. How convenient, huh?
Just in time, yeah. Done. Well, I wish they could get a picture of him.
Jeez. I mean, it's so amazing that here's Orwell's 1984 with a perpetual faceless enemy, Al-Qaeda. Now they have to enter the mix, and they'll send this fright all across the world, because not only is the Middle East the battlefield, the whole world is the battlefield. How convenient, huh?
And what is more unbelievable than that, Victor, is how many people don't see the ridiculous.
Well, absolutely.
They might as well be believing in Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny, and all the rest of that stuff for the amount of critical thought that they put to this. They stay glued to the TV listening to O'Reilly and Hannity and all these other idiots, and they can't see that they are working in the service of the devil.
Yeah. When I heard him drag out Al-Qaeda today, I thought, well, anything right now. I mean, they'll go to any lengths to keep this god-awful perpetual war going. And this is just another bit of evidence. Well, Mark, let's look at a couple different peripheral issues here. One, there's a big Senate race coming up this fall where Joe Lieberman, of course, Jewish, a Democrat. Most of the time, almost all the time, Democrats are against war, especially George Bush's wars. But Joe Lieberman has been arm-in-arm with Bush since day one, and the way I see it is his allegiance to Israel is much stronger than his allegiance to the Democratic Party. But Lieberman right now is in a big fight, and he's neck and neck in the primaries with a virtual unknown. And what the unknown is doing, and the Democrats in his state, is after Bush gave one of his big war speeches, he went up afterwards and gave Joe Lieberman a kiss on the cheek. Well, they made a big papier-mâché replica of this, and having Bush kiss Lieberman, they're calling it the kiss of death. So Lieberman now is taking heat because of his allegiance to Israel, and they're saying he might not win the primary against this unknown. So this war has many different after effects, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And interestingly that you bring this up, because just prior to you calling, I was talking with our good friend Michael Collins Pfeiffer.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about this very thing, and his prediction is that Lieberman is going to make a run for the vice presidency, and that he is going to get it. And that this whole thing with this show that's taking place with this other competitor, that it's all a show, and it's being done to facilitate Lieberman getting on the ticket and actually being elected vice president.
Very interesting. Yeah, very, very interesting.
This guy has got the eyes of a hawk, and he can see things from 100 miles away.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and, you know, when I think about it, it's a very real possibility. Now, let's look at another guy, Ralph Reed. Since we're talking about elections, Ralph Reed. Everybody knows him when he was 33 years old. He was this whiz kid of the religious right on the cover of Time magazine. He's been invited to the Bilderberg meetings. Well, his religious aspirations now led to political aspirations. But in the meantime, what he did was he hooked up with this Jack Abramoff, got involved in kickbacks and money under the table and gambling and all this stuff. Well, he ran for office in the primary. He got beat also. And it was because people saw the phoniness of this guy that speaks out against gambling and all these vices, yet this guy's worse than anything that he's talking out or speaking out against. So have you looked into this story at all, Mark?
Well, of course. I mean, there's only so much of Ralph Reed that I can take, just like all his other friends, the Falwells, the Robertsons, and all the rest
mm-hmm.
of them. These false prophets, these people who pretend to be supporting our values as Americans, our values as Christians. But, I mean, look, this shouldn't be surprising either. This is the thing, you know, that I'm trying to tell people. When you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
Yep.
Now, the Christian right has transmitted disease. And that is what has happened to the Christian right. So Ralph Reed and the fact that these scandals are being attached to him, I mean, yes, they are a natural consequence of their relationship, but at the same time, you also have to look at it probably is deliberate as well. There's no better way to get people to do what you want than to get them dirty and to blackmail them.
Right.
And so I think that we need to see that in the context of this. And to all you other Christians out there, particularly you conservative Christians who are in support of this war, who think that George Bush can do no wrong, and guys like Falwell and Hannity and Ralph Reed and all the rest of these guys who you have chosen as your leaders, you need to keep something else in mind. When this whole thing is over with and everything comes crashing down, who do you think is going to get blamed for it? It isn't going to be the Jews.
No.
They've already carved out a nice little escape route for themselves. Who's going to be blamed for this whole thing? It's going to be the Christians.
Right.
And then we are going to find ourselves in the same position that the Muslims find themselves in today. We're going to be called terrorists and extremists, and then that's when things are going to get really interesting.
Yeah, and then they can wipe out the two religions they hate the most, Christianity and Islam.
Okay.
I mean, it's so evident. One last thing, Mark, before we go. Israel is now requesting that the United States speed up delivery of these latest weapons that were promised to them. What do you think they could be using these weapons for, Mark? Why do you think they want them so quickly?
Well, of course, there is a discussion about them possibly running out of missiles, which I don't know about that. I mean, they're capable of making their own arms. They're one of the biggest arms dealers in the world. I don't know that they're running out. I suppose possible. I mean, they're in the process of destroying a nation, literally just reducing it to rubble. So I suppose that it's possible, but I think it's also possible that they want, what they really want is just to get the United States involved.
Exactly, yeah. And the latest and the best toys. Well, we've been speaking with Mr. Mark Glenn. He's the author of No Beauty in the Beast, another book, Not My Words, But Theirs, and the recently released Hear No Evil. His website can be found at crescentandcross.com. And he's putting out a lot of new articles, doing a lot of good work. And Mark, what most thrills me or most pleases me about having you and other similar guests on this show is we're not erecting a blackout or a protection racket around what's happening with Israel and this war in the Middle East. And I want everyone out there to remember that there are stations out there that are protecting the enemy, deliberately protecting the enemy. And Mark, I'm not going to do it, and I know you're not going to do it either, are you?
No way. I've got too much at stake, namely my 8 kids.
Yeah.
And my own soul as well.
Yeah, and maybe the entire world around us. So, Mark, I'd like to thank you for coming on Wing TV. Keep up the good work, and stay in touch, okay?
Thank you, friends.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Lisa's working on her computer. We're going to run her article tomorrow on how 911truth.org is protecting Israel's involvement in 9/11. So we're going to have her article and discuss that on this show. So until then, as you've heard today, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.